Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Happy 100th. You can't be in business for 100 years and not do it right. They've done it right. I salute Tom and the gang on a business model that many others should emulate.
Hey, I just happen to think this is all Steve Jones Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, we have the talk show tonight with Patrick Chambers and a player coming up this evening from Damon's. From
a player to be named later, as it will?
Yes, we will have one of them on there. Had two on the last time. Last week we had Kevin Motmany and Geno Thorpe on the show. So that will be tonight. I was very happy to get out of the news. Kevin was trying to explain to me the track development at the Iowa racetrack. It's a shorter track.
The Iowa race made the list of the bottom 50 watched sporting events. And I said, it made the list simply because it's a shorter track and lots of passing.
It made the list because it's an IndyCar race. Come on.
Again, you think I'm worried about the fact that nobody but me watches some of these sports. I'm fine with it. I like the obscure. If they had Obscure Sports Quarterly, I would probably be a subscriber.
Well, unfortunately for you, this show is about reaching mass audience, so that's not going to help.
I get two times a year. That's all I need. I'm happy about that.
You interjected about 150 times a year.
For a few short seconds, and then it goes away.
That's because I put the brakes on it. You got Penn State football news going on. Bob Shoup.
Yeah, and coach is going to be on ESPN.
I was.
Well, isn't he going to be on a couple of more times, though?
I think he's going to be on a couple more times. He got stuck in the elevator today with David Pollack, Brian Kelly, and Brady Hoke. So the four of them get stuck in an elevator. And, of course, it got tweeted out. And I said, in a related note, Brady Hoke, Brian Kelly, and David Pollack have all decided to go to Penn State. But Bob, look, stability means a lot in a staff. And, I think everyone knows what the rumors are about how much money is involved in this and so forth. And I could care less. You know, I've had a couple of people come up to me and say, he's a defensive coordinator. You know, what do you think a full professor at Penn State is worth shaping lives versus a... I looked at the person and said, I could care less. I said, you'd care less? I said, easily. I said, you know what I care about? They said, what? I said, what I make. Okay. That pays my bills. I said, I don't want to get into some high-handed conversation about who makes what. I said, I care what I make. I said, and you know what? That's what you should care about. So you start going around getting all worked up about what somebody else makes. And what somebody else makes is not going to pay your electric bill.
I know I care about what you make. I mean, no.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
Oh, jeez. Look, you got a car out of it once a week. You're good.
It's good. You hear me complaining?
A lot. Nobody goes to the commercial breaks. Right.
Let me rephrase that. That's not what I complain about. What I complained about during the news which you didn't share this time, which is a surprise because 9 times out of 10 you do anyway. What I was talking about was I always try and find what I'm going to do to fill the void between the end of the Super Bowl and the start of the next football season. Now, sometimes it's baseball. And looking at my baseball team right now, it ain't going to be baseball.
Okay. There's a sale at Bed Bath & Beyond, so why don't you go to that?
There's a thought.
There you go. We don't have to worry about that right now. We have Penn State football news. We have NFL news left and right going on. We don't have to worry about that. Now you got the playoffs coming up this weekend. The playoffs. You know, what the Steelers were involved in.
No, you're right, and that's why I said I like this. I mean, I like this time of year. January and February is fun for football.
And also, you know darn well, I don't like TMZ reporting.
No.
Okay? And guess what? The report shows what today? The NFL didn't see the video.
Oh, you're talking about the Mueller report.
Yeah, they didn't see the video. Not dropped off. Secretary said they, or whomever, a female voice said they got a hold of the tape, blah, blah, blah. That's all not true. Look, I'm not here to defend the league. I think the league handled it all wrong. I told you, without seeing the tape, I told you how I'd handle it. I would have suspended him through October 31st. All right? That's half a season, and would have kept him out of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I think in the end it would have saved his job. Without seeing the tape, that's what I would have done. Would have sent a message. He would have appealed. Okay, there's a process for that. You go through the process. But that's what I would have done. And I said that the second it came out. I would have suspended him through October 31st. I would not want him out there playing during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. When the NFL is working so hard to reach out to female fans across the country. That's why, that to me, that's important. That's where I think they fouled up. They weren't tough enough in the beginning with what they did. If he wants to appeal it and give it, send it. And the NFL needs an appeals board, not just a commissioner. There has to be an appeals board that represents players from the Players Association, represents ownership, and then a neutral third person that is paid by both the players and by the league. That's where the appeals board should be. Someone that represents the NFL, someone that represents the Players Association, and a third person who gets 50% of his or her salary from the NFL and 50% of his or her salary from the NFLPA. That's what they should do in appeals.
Well, although they think this is good news for the NFL that they didn't have the tape or didn't see the tape, the bad news that comes out of the report, though, is that the NFL had enough information suggesting there was a serious event inside the elevator that they should have investigated it further and didn't.
Right. I mean, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. But you know what? Here's the other part, though. What I kept hearing over and over again from people is that, look, the NFL has contacts, and they can get stuff. And this is a criminal investigation. You're not supposed to get stuff. The big problem that I am seeing with the situations that have cropped up is that you are finding leagues and organizations attempting to be prosecutor, judge, and jury on cases, and that's not their job. That's why you have a court system that has a prosecution, that has a defense attorney, that has a judge. If need be, has a jury. They're the ones that tell you what guilt or innocence is. It's not the NFL's job to determine guilt or innocence in a legal situation. Now, if it's something that happens on the field that's not a legal situation, It is their job. That's part of the league. But everything else, you should not have organizations, whether it's the NFL, the NCAA, the NHL, the NBA, whomever, it's not their responsibility to be judge, jury, prosecutor. Okay? It's not their job to be in judgment. It's not their job. It's the job of the legal system to take care of that. Now, if you wish to suspend or whatever, because that's what you wish to do with said player, okay. You know, especially while it's being worked out or whatever, that's up to you. But see, this is where the NFL ran into massive problems this year, where, we'll determine guilt or innocence. No, you won't. That's not your job to determine guilt or innocence. Your job is to run a league. And if you wish to suspend someone while it plays out, okay, that's what they ended up doing with Adrian Peterson, suspended with pay. It's the job of the legal system. And we've watched it play out here. Again, you can't, as an organization, overstep your bounds. That's why you have a law and a legal system. It's their job to determine guilt or innocence, not you sitting in an office.
Steve, would it have made more sense if the NFL were to handle this, for example, in this way? They found they had some report. They had a report. There was a charge. What have you? They don't fine Rice. They don't suspend him without pay, but they suspend him at the moment until the investigation is complete. Then once the investigation is complete and or charges are dropped or go to court or whatever, then decide what to do. In essence, you could fine the player and remove him from the NFL at that point if he is found guilty or if there are charges pending, or reinstate him.
Well, that's why you suspend it with pay.
Exactly. That's my point. And say that pay becomes $3 million.
I've said that the entire time.
Say that pay during that time is $3 million. Then you can recoup that by creating a $3 million fine and say, hey, here's the deal. It's almost like making it retroactive to the suspension. We're going to fine you $3 million. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're suspended till further notice.
That's why you suspend him until the investigation is over with. You know, everything's a case-by-case basis. You can't have one blanket policy on everything. You just can't. Everything's a case-by-case basis. And like I said, without seeing the tape, what did I say? Because domestic violence is a serious, serious issue. Without seeing the tape, I said suspend him through October 31st. Well, if they suspended him through October 31st, I'm telling you right now, he'd be playing this weekend. Because I think people would have sat back and said, wow, okay, that's, they went out there, and without seeing the tape, they were pretty aggressive in terms of what they did with this. You know, after talking to all sides and so forth, where, let's face it, he admits he hit her. So, in other words, there was no mystery there. Because evidently he told the commissioner he did, and she did. Okay. So you take a stand on it because you have that information that was placed in front of you by the player. Okay? Well, I think Ray Rice is not playing in part right now because the suspension was so light, so criticized. Then the tape came out, and everybody, and that's it, and he lost out. Well, I think the league lost credibility as to how they handled it, and Ray Rice lost a job. I think if it was handled right, the league would have credibility on it, and Ray Rice actually still would have a job. What's a better solution? You know, organizations, I don't care if it's a business, a league, or whatever, You can't usurp the legal system by saying, all right, you know what? This is what we're going to, you know, you're out. Well, what do you mean you're out? What if it turns out you didn't do anything? That's fair. Everyone wants to have instant gratification when it comes to a situation. It's like anything in life. How often does something come up and you say to yourself, and you're like, I got to get this resolved as quickly as possible. Boom, resolve it. Okay, it's passed. I feel better. We all feel that about anything that we go through. As soon as it's resolved, 8-9 times out of 10, we feel, all right, better and start putting it in our past. So we want instant resolution in our own lives. When it comes to these situations, we're always looking for instant resolution. Sometimes that's not possible. And I get cynical and have become more and more so when I hear information says that they actually saw the tape, didn't see the tape. And I sat back and I said in the show, I said, look, I'm not going to sit back and listen and believe this. Investigate it. Find out. Well, it turned out the report was D-E-A-D wrong. Dead wrong. You can report anything you want now. I don't like the fact that there are certain outlets that put things out there where you feel like it's not multi-sourced. I've always told my class I'd rather be second and right than first and wrong. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Kevin, you can mention the name of another IndyCar driver here or Olympian.
Ryan Hunter Ray.
There you go. We satisfied you for the half hour.
Can the next one be present or past?
Who says there's going to be a next one?
Oh, well, I'm just planning ahead in the off chance.
Well, don't plan too much. Coming up this weekend, the NFL playoffs. Penn State basketball, we mentioned earlier, of course, that the Nittany Lions, while being 12-4, 0-3 in the conference, they don't play again until they play Tuesday night when they play at Indiana. We'll do the show from Bloomington on Tuesday from the beautiful Hilton Garden Inn in downtown Bloomington, just off the square. Yes, indeed. Where they really part of where the land that time forgot. You need to get. Yeah, obviously DJ Newbill is going to be a given for you. He went out. He had 20 the other night. In fact, he had fine efficiency, 7-12 shooting from the field. He's fighting it a little bit at the free throw line right now. That has got to change. He's got to become a better free throw shooter. He's only hit 15 of his last 26. And you're talking, that's only a 58% clip for a guy that gets to the line a fair amount of times. But Brandon Taylor needs to step up and needs to play some ball for him right now. It's not like he's not working, because he is working. But he has to develop some efficiency himself on the offensive end. They need something from him. He is only 8 for his last 39 from the field. 8 for your last 39. That's slightly above 20%. And Ross Travis has got to look at the finish line of his career and say, you know what? Whatever they need, I have to do. It's the way it is. The big guy league. Have to get in there, play some ball. They are not inferior to these teams. Quite different. It's a different mindset now than 2-3 years ago, where they did not have enough talent compared to other teams. That's not the case right now. Next half hour, more Penn State football talk, more NFL talk, and no car racing talk. All right, go ahead. You can mention one more driver.
No, I'll wait.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, during the news break, the sounds of silence. Kevin now hesitates to speak.
Oh, man, I just got my mic fixed. Sorry about that.
We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KROTS 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Well, Penn State football news now. Between now and the 15th, that's when players can declare for the NFL draft. And between now and the 15th is a dead period in recruiting. They can contact through text and so forth. But in terms of actual visits, no. There's no contact there. James Franklin has been in Dallas-Fort Worth. Besides calling this show yesterday. And has been making the ESPN rounds. And, well, he should. I think it's great for him to do that. I think he needs to do that.
He did that last year, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But it's a little different now. He's got a year under his belt as Penn State's head coach. Keeping Bob Shoup was important for many reasons. Obviously, he's a very talented defensive coordinator, and Penn State has a long tradition in that area. Tom Bradley did an outstanding job here. Tom Bradley set a really high standard as to what a defensive coordinator would do. I think, before Bob, I think Tom is the best defensive coordinator Penn State's ever had. Ted Roof did a good job in the 1 year. But Tom was outstanding. Bob Shoup did an outstanding job this year. And I'm a big Bob Shoup guy as to how he handles his players, what he does, how he goes about his business, how he prepares. But there's another part to this besides having your coordinator there. Stability in the staff means something. And I've talked about this before. Mack Brown, who is universally liked, you name it, and people genuinely like Mack Brown. And Mack Brown did a great job in North Carolina. He did a great job and won a national championship at Texas. The one area that made me uncomfortable from afar watching Mack Brown is that when trouble circled, I don't care whether it was the athletic department or donors or whatever, I always got the feeling from the outside looking in that he would appease them by changing the staff. And it's amazing that as a coaching professional, who would know the staff better than Mack Brown? But he would change it, and you felt like, for the lack of a better word, sacrificing people to make sure that he stayed in his job. Now, if that's accurate or not, we'd have to sit down with him. But like I said, nobody in the face of the earth, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Mack Brown, the person. And I think when you look at some of the great programs in college, they're the ones that, for the most part, stay intact. There's a sense of loyalty working in the group, a synergy as you work together. I think one of the keys to Michigan State's rise and stability has been Mark D'Antonio has had essentially the same staff since he walked in there. I always keep in the last chart when Penn State plays a team until they play them next. I mean, I'm not going to go in and start changing charts from season to season when they're not playing them. That's a waste of time. So Penn State, for the first time since 2010, played Michigan State this year. And while I was doing my off-season rundown, I always make sure I always have a list of the assistant coaches as to, you know, who's on the staff, who's the coordinator, and so forth. There was only one change on the Michigan State staff from when I did this chart in 2010. One. Now, the next time I sit down and do it, it'll be different. Pat Narduzzi won't be there. He'll be the head coach of Pitt. There'll be changes on that staff. But I think that's been important as to where Michigan State's been able to come from to get to this particular point. You will have coaches that, if they do well enough, will end up leaving to take another job as a head coach. And the new head coach of Florida is a perfect example. Jim McElwain had been the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Colorado State had an opening for head coach. Jim interviewed. Jim got the job. Spent three years there. Boom, now he's the head coach of Florida. Mike Bobo has been the offensive coordinator at Georgia. Well, when McElwain took the Florida job, the Colorado State job was open again, and Mike Bobo just got that job. That's a natural progression in the business. But I also think it's very important that when you see most successful programs, and when you look at Alabama, Alabama's had McElwain, they've had Nussmeier. He ended up going to Michigan briefly. He was going to turn the whole offense around, and that one year didn't go well. I think he may have gone to Florida. But for the most part, the Alabama staff has remained steady and intact. Oregon. Is it any surprise that when Chip Kelly left, Mark Helfrich moved up and they kept that staff intact? Urban Meyer has really kept his staff intact. You know, with a couple of exceptions here and there, it's really the same group, except for obviously Mike Vrabel leaving to join Bill O'Brien and Larry Johnson leaving Penn State and taking Vrabel's spot at Ohio State. For the most part, same thing, same group. Florida State has kept the same group. And these are the final four teams I'm talking about here. Same group of coaches. So is Michigan State. And we know here a hallmark at Penn State from Rip Engel on, Rip Engel, Joe Paterno, was that you had staff stability. Once in a while, somebody left. Once in a while, Greg Schiano left. John Rosenberg left. Brian Norwood left. Once in a while that happened. But for the most part, the core group stayed intact. Now, Fran Ganter then, moved into administration. Galen Hall was hired. Yeah, things like that. But for the most part, staying intact, stability. James Franklin had this group with him at Vanderbilt, and he brought almost all of them with him. Herb Hand, Josh Gattis, Ricky Ronnie, Bob Shoup, John Donovan, Brent Pry, Sean Spencer. Charles Huff had been with them before, went to the NFL Bills, now came back and joined them there. Then one guy that they hired was Terry Smith. And he's blended in as if he's been with them for 10 years. That's the James Franklin model. He likes stability and loyalty is a two-way street. Hey, if you're loyal to somebody and they're loyal back, you've got a great situation working there. Because you know you're there for a reason. You're talented enough to do the job. That's important. And I think staff stability is really important. Too often, I feel like assistant coaches are sacrificial pawns just to appease somebody and say, okay, look, see, we made some changes. We're good. Really? Really? You are? You better? You should change somebody out? Somebody actually, a lot of times, some of these guys have had success, but they became stupid in 6 months? What? Out of nowhere? No. So retaining Bob Shoup was important for many, many things, but stability is a big part of it. They'll have the same defensive coordinator for the first time in back-to-back years since Tom Bradley. Recruiting-wise, not like Bob Shoup's not hooked in with some of the recruits. Well, he's Penn State's Bob Shoup. And again, that continues on that path as well. That stability means something. It really does. And and we're too quick to move chess pieces off the board because it's appeasing somebody. You'd be amazed how if you have the job, you're really an expert in your field you might know more than the guy that's not the expert in your field. I, for one, would never question Lawrence on how to do a morning show. You okay there? Fall down?
Just listening.
You've been at your best today. You can mention another IndyCar guy here if you want.
I would mention James Hinchcliffe, but he's not a member of Andretti Autosports now, so he defected.
Okay, Lloyd Ruby. Let's move on.
Talk about a flashback.
Well, somebody had to come up with something. You obviously have mentally stalled. And the NFL playoffs are coming up this weekend. And again, this brings up the importance of having a playoff-level quarterback. And it brings up, again, the importance of what we're going to see with the NFL draft and Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota and Brett Hundley. Look at all the teams in the list that need quarterbacks, Kevin. They go division by division. AFC East, Jets need a quarterback.
Do they?
Buffalo for the time. Oh, geez. Are you kidding me?
It was a joke.
I was going to say, have you watched him play?
It was a joke.
Hey,
Buffalo does, yes.
Buffalo's going to have to think about it, or at least is a Band-Aid enough. How about that?
What about Miami? Is there a question there?
No. Ryan Tannehill, I think, has done extremely well. Okay. No,
I haven't seen a lot of their games,
well.
So I don't know.
No, Ryan Tannehill has been very, very good. Very good. Houston needs a quarterback. Indianapolis obviously doesn't. Jacksonville doesn't. I think, you got to ride the Bortles thing for a little while. Tennessee absolutely does. Pittsburgh doesn't. Baltimore doesn't. Cleveland does. I think Cleveland still needs a quarterback out of this thing. And I think Cincinnati needs to think long and hard about what they're doing. Andy Dalton.
That just sounded funny the way you said that, but I know what you mean.
Well, no, but they need to think long and hard about what they're doing. Do we continue to go with the Andy Dalton thing as to how far he goes? Because the ceiling on Andy Dalton is, unfortunately for him and for the Bengals, he's hit that. There's not much more he can give. Don't you agree?
Oh, listen. I think you have to look at the coaching situation and the quarterback and say, listen, there's a reason we haven't won a playoff game in how many years?
They just haven't been as good as other people. I think they're good across. I wouldn't make a move with Marvin Lewis. I mean, remember where they were before they had
him. No, I'm not saying make a move, but I think you have to look at it.
No. You're too TMZ, okay? Okay, now Dalton you have to take a long look at because he is a very difficult guy for you to sit there and get a strong feeling about. And here's the reason for that, Kev. He's good enough to get you to this point. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks that are actually good enough to get you to that point. Correct?
I would agree with that.
But again, to that point is actually his ceiling.
But yeah, you've got to go further in the NFL, though. That's the thing.
You've got to be able to ask yourself, who does that for me? And unfortunately for Cincinnati, there aren't a lot of answers out there for them right now. They're not going to draft high enough to get a guy we're talking about. Quarterback is not a waiver wire position. So that's a tough one. Out west, Rivers, Manning. I think Carr is really good. I think Carr is going to be outstanding. Alex Smith is another guy, Kev. I look at him. I think the Chiefs have to make a long, hard look as to what to do there. Again, I think he takes them as far as he can, and that's the ceiling. And that's what Jim Harbaugh saw. I think Jim Harbaugh brilliantly saw the ceiling on him and then mismanaged Colin Kaepernick trying to make him into a pocket quarterback in 2014. Sorry, but, you know, I'm not going to sit there and jump on the genius bandwagon when I've got a guy that can run the way he can run and watch the reins get pulled in left and right when he could swing games left and right with 5-6 runs in a game. And Harbaugh, they didn't do it. And that has to go back to him. You know, I mean, I'm not going to jump. I don't jump on bandwagons. Just see what I see. NFC, Eagles need a quarterback. Redskins need a quarterback. Cowboys don't, but they got to start thinking long term here. The Giants don't. Manning had a really good year this year, but they've got to start thinking long term as to how long Eli's going to be there. But Eli Manning had a really good year this year.
Yeah, you said the Steelers don't, but I think the Steelers have to start thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean down the road, but they're not sitting there going.
It's
to
not
draft
a tomorrow.
That's not a priority. At some point, you got to start thinking about it, but now's not the time for them to do it. Same thing with the Giants. Same thing with the Cowboys. Green Bay doesn't. Chicago does. I think the Vikings, you ride the Bridgewater thing for a while. See, Stafford, you're fine. Again, Stafford, again, you got to start wondering whether he's got the, Daltonese or not.
Daltonitis.
Is there a certain, there's a certain level he can bring you to. See, Matt Ryan's in that same thing. I would say Atlanta doesn't have to, but does Matt Ryan do the same thing for you? Does he top out? New Orleans has to make a decision, but probably not yet. Carolina doesn't. They've got Cam. Tampa Bay absolutely needs a quarterback. Arizona needs to draft a quarterback.
Oh, boy, do they ever.
Hey, they got Carson Palmer coming back, but still, they're going to have to do something there. They have to do something there. And Seattle doesn't. Niners don't, but he didn't have a great year.
How do you feel about the situation
and
with San
Diego? The Rams do. The Rams do. Well, what, with Phillip Rivers? Rivers is the biggest reason they're there. Rivers is good.
Okay.
He's the biggest reason they're there.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking because, you know, that's another one of those West Coast teams that you don't get a chance to see a ton of in this area, so you only see them.
That's because you spend too much time watching Game of Thrones. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Down the stretch we come.
Disappointing day for Kevin. He found out what we've already known. The sports he likes, nobody's watching.
Maybe that's why they created NBC Universal. Or Universal Sports, I should say.
No, I think that they it's just there because the space was available and they took it.
That's why they invented the internet, Stephen.
That's why they invented it?
Yep. So I could watch obscure sports.
Maybe this is why that Roy Orbison wrote and sang the song Only the Lonely.
ESPN 8, the Ocho. It's not far away.
The Ocho.
Dodgeball.
I recall the movie. I got a pretty good laugh out of it. We hit Friday tomorrow. I'm back in an hour, by the way, with Pat Chambers. Talk Penn State basketball. Three games in. They've really got to get on Tuesday night at Indiana. Indiana has to play Ohio State first. That's coming up this weekend. So we'll talk to Pat in an hour. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 at 15, Humbles Wharf. For Kevin Obscure Sport Her, I'm Steve Jones on News Radio 1070 WKOK.